Thursday, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. 1:30. Okay. And Mechilta comments in the pasuk in Parashas Boy, Koy Malacha Lo Ya'aseh Behem, that all Malacha should not be done for you. And with regards to Yom Tif, that Hu Adin Shlo Ya'aseh Goy Malachtecha. The pasuk implies not only that a person shouldn't engage in Malacha, but Koy Malacha Lo Ya'aseh Behem, it shouldn't be done even for you. That this precludes even a guy from performing a malacha on behalf of a Jew. And Mechilta draws a kavachaymer, if this is true on Yantif, that this is certainly true on Shabbos as well. So Mechilta implies that the Yisav Amir or Anachri to ask Anachri to do a malacha for you is in fact an Yisav Midday Raisa. And the smag is Mesupak, whether or not this is an Yisav Midday Raisa or it's only an Yisav Midday Rabbanon. The Beis Yisav, though, quotes from numerous times in the Talmud Bavli and Mesechta Shabbos that we have that Amir or Anachri is a Shvus. It's only a din midrabanan, and therefore the Beis Yosef concludes that this drasha is only an asmachta biyama. And in fact, Rashi quotes this on Chumash that komalach le'yosef b'hem includes amir the isav amiru v'nachri, and the Ramban writes in his comments in Parashas Boy on Chumash that this is only an asmachta biyama, and it's not to be taken literally as an isav midday raisa. So the Sha'arat Zion quotes all this in Simei Reish Mem Gimel Sukkah in Zion. The Mechilta and the Ramban, that it's only an Asmachta, it's not to be taken literally. Why do we have, you know, that it's an Isav Midaraisa? Why do we have to have an Asmachta for the Isav Amiru? And Achri Shalom Malbim has a fantastic comment in his Perush on Chumash, that it's because the Taz is a rule, and a few times in Shulchan Aruch, once in Archaim, I think again in Yeridea, that Chazal don't have the power to make a Gzera against something that's stated explicitly in the Torah. That's why he says Chazal couldn't be geizer to prohibit blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah entirely. Even though blowing shofar on Shabbos is also because of Gzeiras Shemini Yisak and Kleishir, you might come to fix a musical instrument, or you're not allowed to blow any musical instrument on Shabbos for that reason. So that should apply on Yom Tov too, and then every other Yom Tov you can't play a musical instrument. On Rosh Hashanah, Chazal couldn't prohibit us from blowing shofar entirely, because the Torah says to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And Chazal don't have the power to make Gzeira, which explicitly contradicts that which explicitly stated in the Torah. So the Torah implies that the mitzvah, or states almost explicitly, that Shabbos applies only to Jews. It doesn't apply to non-Jews. Oisi ben yuvein b'nei Yisrael. Or ben yuvein b'nei Yisrael. Oisi li'olam. It's a bris between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It only applies to Klal Yisrael. How do Chazal have the ability then to prohibit Nachrim from doing Malacha on Shabbos? So even though it's only when it's on behalf of a Jew, but still, they're prohibiting Nachum from doing Malacha at certain times on Shabbos. Therefore, the Malbim says we needed an Asmachta in the Pasuk, or at least some allusion to this in the Torah Shebichsav, so that it shouldn't be considered a Gzeira against that which is stated explicitly in the Torah. But it's generally assumed, the Drash of the Mechilta notwithstanding, that the use of Amir Anachri on Shabbos is only in Yisav Midrabanan. However, there might be one form of Amir Anachri, which is Asa Midrei Raisa. The Pasuk tells in Parashas Mishpatim, you shouldn't engage malacha, and who has to rest on Shabbos? Yashar, Yachamar, the Nisar of the mitzvah of Shvisas Behema, and Yinafesh ben Amascha v'hager. Who is the hager? Who's the ger who's discussed by the pasuk? So the Gemara comments himself to Sivamis. This is referring not to a Ger Tzedek. A Ger Tzedek is the Yisrael entirely, for all matters. Rather, it's referring to a Ger Toshav, that non-Jew who has formally accepted upon himself in Beis Din to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach because Moshe Rabbeinu communicated them to us from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what a Ger Toshav is. You'll say, well, every non-Jew is obligated to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, whether he formally accepts to do so or not. That's the special status as a Ger, of a Ger Toshav. When he accepts to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach in front of Beis Din, even though he's obligated to do them anyway, but when he accepts to do so in front of Beis Din, so then he is awarded the right to live together with us in Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, one is not allowed to sell property to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, but you're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew who accepts to perform the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach because they were communicated to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, Masechta Yisivamis, that's what it's referring to. That the pasuk is telling us, v'nafesh b'nei Amasra v'ager, the Ger Toshav has to refrain from doing malacha on Shabbos. So Taisus, that's how Rashi learns the Gemara, that a Ger Toshav is chayv to keep Shabbos. So Taisus says, how could it be that a Ger Toshav is chayv to keep Shabbos? It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach. All he has to do is formally accept to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Shabbos is not one of them. So therefore, Taisus concludes that it doesn't mean that the Ger Toshav, not like Rashi, but the Ger Toshav doesn't have to keep Shabbos, but one is not allowed to ask him to do malacha on our behalf.
And if you would, that would be an Issa v'amir u'nachri midoy raisa. That's what the pasuk v'inafish ben amascha v'ager is referring to. So if you would have a ger toshav of an hour time, there'd be an Issa v'amir u'nachri nowadays midoy raisa. You'll say, where are we ever going to find the ger toshav? So if you're familiar with the discussion regarding the Shnas HaShemitah and the Hetem Achira of working the land in Eretz Yisrael during the Shnas HaShemitah, so the Mekilim, those who allow one to sell karka in Eretz Yisrael to Nachrim during the Shnas HaShemitah, so they should be able to continue to work the land, is based on a heter that was articulated in our time by Rav Kook, but really predates Rav Kook, and the foundation of that heter is the assumption that the Arabs in our time have the status of Geirei Toshav. The Netziv asks, how can you ever sell karka in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew? It's an issur of lo yisichanem, lo titan lahem chaniyah b'karka. You're not allowed to sell karka in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. So the cornerstone of the Hetter Mechira is the assumption that the Arabs have the status of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, because they keep, at least supposedly keep, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, right? So Rav Kook already raises the issue. If that's the case, the Chazon Ish rejected that. And he said, no, they don't have the status of Geirei Toshav because they didn't accept to do so because Moshe Rabbeinu told us about them. The Rambam states explicitly, you're only Geirei Toshav if you keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach that were communicated to us through from the Ribbono Shel Olam through Moshe Rabbeinu. And they don't keep them because Moshe Rabbeinu communicated them from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Rav Kook assumes that they do have the status of Geirei Toshav. So if one is going to assume that they have the status of Geirei Toshav in order to sell them karka in Eretz Yisrael for that mechira, then shouldn't they have the status of Geirei Toshav vis-a-vis Hilcha Shabbos as well? And if you ask an Arab or to do malacha for you on Shabbos, you know, let's say the Shabbos going, the shul will be an Arab, it could be a shayla of Amir Olanachri that would be not an Issa Midor Rabbanan, but an Issa Midor Raisa. Many of the kulas that we're going to discuss might not apply to such a Shabbos goy, to such a non-Jew. Yeah.
But that would be limited to the Amirah. Meaning, like, let's say
doing your behalf also. Yeah. If he does malach on your behalf.
I'm saying, but post facto to be nene from the
same
behalf,
deal.
It would be derisive?
Man, I don't know.
Isn't that just a derisive?
Yeah. The whole Amir Onach we assume is only the Rabbanan. But Tosis claims Amir Onach, you're saying maybe the Isra Hano would only be the Rabbanan, but to ask him, okay, but if he works on your behalf in the shul and you're going to ask him to turn on the lights, which we'll get to in a second, you know, so then you can do that. So Rav Kook already was aware of this, and he distinguishes and he argues that, no, they have the status of Geirei Toshav vis-a-vis selling them land in Eretz Yisrael, but they do not have the status of Geirei Toshav vis-a-vis the Issa v'Amir u'Nachri being Midor Raisa on Shabbos. And his argument is that with regards to selling karka in Eretz Yisrael, it's enough if you're not an Oved of Eved Zara. In order to qualify for the Issa v'Amir u'Nachri Midor Raisa, you have to actively be a Geir Toshav. So he argues, you're right, he agrees with the Chazon Ish. They don't have the status of Geir Toshav fully, because they're not accepting to do that. Sheva Mitzvahs has been enough, because they were communicated to us by Moshe Rabbeinu from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But at the same time, they don't have the status of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and therefore you can't sell them karka in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so at least the theoretical discussion perhaps could exist, whether or not there's an Issa of Amir Onachri Midor Raisa, but we assume all Amir Onachri is a din Midor Rabbanan, even when it comes to such, those who practice Islam, who perhaps keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Why is there an Issa of Midor Rabbanan of Amir Onachri? So from a different Rishonim, we get different perspectives. And we have basically three perspectives in the Rishonim, which really boil down to two. The Rambam writes that the reason why Chazal prohibited us from asking Nachri to do a malach on our behalf is because you might come to do it yourself. And Rashi has a similar argument in Bava Metzia, where Rashi writes that Amir Onachri is also because of Yesh Lichus Lenachri or La'akum Lechumra. Even though the concept of Shlichus formally only applies to Jews, as we learned out of the Pasuk, Kein Tarimu Gam Atem, as the Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin, Ma Atem B'nei Bris, Af Shluchachem B'nei Bris, that Shlichus only applies formally to Jews, doesn't apply to non-Jews. Perhaps at least Midor Rabbanan, they created a concept of Shlichus, Midor Rabbanan, L'chumra. Okay, but that's similar to the Rambam, that it's because you might come to do it yourself. However, Rashi in Avodah Zarah writes that the Isser of Amir Onachri is based on the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu, that on Shabbos, V'karas al Shabbos Ayinah, V'chibaratam Esos Terechachem, Esos Terechachem, V'daber Davar, we honor Shabbos, we're not engaging in our normal malachim, we're not from speaking the way that we normally speak. So just like during the week we would speak in malacha and Shabbos, we don't speak about malachas. I'm supposed to discuss malachas on Shabbos. And if you're going to ask an achri to do malacha for you, then you'll be discussing malacha on Shabbos. So we really have two perspectives on the issue of amilu and achri. Either because you might come to do it yourself, or as Rashi phrased in Bava Metzia, yesh lichus lakum l'chumra, or because we shouldn't be discussing malachas on Shabbos. The Achrayim ask, why do we have, Rashi has both of these reasons. Rashi and Bava Metzia has one, Rashi and Avodah Zarah has the other. Why do we need so many reasons for the issue of amilu and achri? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav has an explanation, which is also found in the Avnei Nezer, and the Stipler has it in the Kilos Yaakov and Maseches Avodah Zarah, that it's in order to include two atypical situations. The typical situation of Amir and Achri is when I ask the Nachri to do Malacha for me, and I ask him on Shabbos, and he's performing it on Shabbos. What if I ask the Nachri to do Malacha for me Erev Shabbos? Meaning not that he's going to do it Erev Shabbos, I'm going to ask him Erev Shabbos, and he'll do it on Shabbos. So that is not v'daber davar. I'm only discussing the malach on Friday, not on Shabbos. But you would still run into the problem of yesh lichus le'akum l'chumra, or, in other words, that if he's not going to do it, I might come to do it myself. Shabbos will roll around, and he's not doing it, so I might come to do it myself. So that's why we needed the reason of yesh lichus le'akum l'chumra, or the Rambams, you might come to do it yourself. However, there's another situation, which also is included on Miro Nachri, which also doesn't have application of both reasons, but only one, and that is if I ask the Nachri to do malacha, I ask him on Shabbos to do malacha for me on Sunday. So there's no concern I might come to do it myself, because I only need the malacha performed on Sunday. So if the Nachri is not around, they're not available, he's not doing it, I might come to do it myself, but it'll be Sunday, that's not a problem. But if you ask him to do it on Shabbos, it'll still be a violation of a Dabar Davar, discussing malacha on Shabbos. So the reason why the Rishonim have all of these reasons to include all of these different permutations of Amir Nachri. It includes not only asking the Nachri on Shabbos to do Malacha on Shabbos, but asking him on Friday to do Malacha on Shabbos, or asking him on Shabbos to do Malacha on Sunday. The Avnei Nezer quotes from Agos Maimonides, who the Avnei Nezer claims also subscribes to the reason of the Rambam, or Rashi and Bava Metzia, that the reason for this of Amir Nachri is I might come to do it myself. Because he discusses an interesting situation of a person who gives money to a Nachri to buy something on their behalf on Shabbos. I give him money on Friday, and he's going to buy it for me on Shabbos. So Agos Maimonides says that's prohibited. It's including the Isav Amir Nachri. So Avnei Nezer says, must be that Agos Maimonides is of the opinion that Amir Nachri is aser, because you might come to do it yourself. So even though you asked him on Friday, or you gave him money on Friday, you're asking him to make a purchase on Shabbos. If he's not around, not available, he's not going to do it, you might come to do it yourself. However, Shechter in the Eretz HaTzvi argues that perhaps Agos Maimonides is telling us really something else, which is a different concept, and a different part of the Yisav of Amir HaNachri. And that is, he might be the same of the opinion of the Rambam, that Amir HaNachri is also not only because of Adab HaDavar, because you might come to do it yourself, but perhaps Agos Maimonides is telling us that there are certain Isurim that exist, or you can violate yourself, even if you ask the Nachri to do them. Meaning, maybe what Agos Maimonides is telling us is that the Iser of Mekach Umemkar on Shabbos is not violated by actually engaging in the sale, but having the sale contracted on your behalf. Because the Iser of Mekach Umemkar is Gzeira Shem Yichtov, you might come to write down. So perhaps what Agos Maimonides is telling us is, even though the Nachri is the one who contracted the sale, or who, you know, exchanged money for an item, since it's being done on my behalf, I might come to write it down myself, even though I'm not the one who's engaging in the malacha actively. This is the argument of Kiva Eger, who discusses the situation of Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. So, you know, much of the discussion about Erev Pesach Chalios with Shabbos is regarding what do you do about Shalosh Shudis and eating so late in the day in Erev Pesach. However, another discussion that is unique to Erev Pesach Chalios with Shabbos is, when do you sell the chametz? We usually sell the chametz Erev Pesach. Here, you can't sell it on Erev Pesach at Shabbos. So we sell it on Friday. That's our practice. However, Rabbi Kiva Eger raises the possibility about selling it on Friday, al tanai that it should be chal, you know, engaging in the sale on Friday, al tanai that it should be chal on Shabbos. Let it take effect on Shabbos. Can you do that? So Rabbi Kiva Eger goes back and forth about it, but he concludes that you can't. Why not? Because the is of Mekach Umemkar, you might come to write down, Zeir Shem Yichtov. So even though you contracted the sale or engaged in the sale on Friday, and nothing is really taking place on Shabbos, since that's when the sale is taking place, you know, that's when it's being chal, you know, nothing physically is happening, but that's when the sale is effective, you might come to write it down on Shabbos, even though nobody did anything. So maybe what the Agos Maimonides is telling us is, the fact that a Nachri contracted the sale it's irrelevant, because with regards to Mekachol Memkar, even though the Nachri is one who's doing it, you could still be in violation of the Isser of Mekachol Memkar, even though you're passive. Or for example, the Mishnah Berurah discussed a situation about a person who wants to, you know, one-up the other guy in terms of making bar mitzvahs. Everyone's always trying to one-up the other guy. So everyone else is doing such a big kiddush, I'm going to do, you know, something else. We'll have more stations or more types of sushi or something else. So one guy wants to say, I'm going to have a musical instrument in my kiddush for my bar mitzvah. How can you play musical instruments on Shabbos? No problem. I'll hire a nachri to do it. Ah, it's asked me the Rabbanah to hire a nachri to do a malacha. Yeah, but this is not a malacha. This is only Gzeira Shemi Yisak and Klei Shir. Playing instruments is only asked me the Rabbanah. So it's Shvus, the Shvus, B'makom Mitzvah. We'll get to it in a second. A double the Rabbanah B'makom Mitzvah is allowed. What's the mitzvah? I don't know. Simchas Bar Mitzvah or Suda Siyum. Or Sheva Brochus, and we'll have a musical accompaniment at our Kiddush. Can that be allowed? So the Mishnah Berurah discusses that. And the Mishnah Berurah concludes, goes back and forth about it, but concludes, no, can't be allowed. Why shouldn't it be allowed? It's a good argument. Shvus to shvus mokai mitzvah. So Shechter explains the reason why it's not allowed is because even though the Nachri is the one who's doing it, who's in violation of Gzeira Shemi Yisak and Klei Shir? The person who is being done on their behalf. Because if the ukulele breaks, if the banjo breaks, or if the, you know, the keyboard breaks, I, as the host, as the Baal Simcha, might be tempted to fix it. So even though I'm not the one who's playing the instrument, I might be tempted to be the one to fix it. Or, Chazanish discusses the situation of replacing food on top of a flame on Shabbos, which is, if it's fully cooked, is only an Iser of Hachazara, or Nesina Mechadosh, if you've... learned that, but by the way, don't forget to do that part of the fourth year. So that's only asim derabanan. Bishul is asim deraisa, but if it's fully cooked and you're returning it to the flame on Shabbos, only asim derabanan. Can I ask a nachri to do it? Shvus to shvus, but makom ayinik Shabbos. The Chazanish says no, because the reason why hachazara is prohibited is gzeira shem yichat b'gecholim. I might come to stoke the coals to make it hotter. So if even if the nachri is one who puts it back on the flame, if I see it's not getting hot fast enough, I might come to turn up the flame in order to make it get hot faster. So all of, perhaps what the Gos Maimonides is telling us is there are certain Isurim where the Amir Anachri doesn't apply, meaning it's even though Anachri is one who's doing it, I might be in violation of the Isur. So kind of excluded from Amir Anachri. By the same token, there might be some Isurim where once it's being performed by Anachri, it's not even Asa Midrabanan. Meaning we just outlined there might be certain Isurim that even if it's performed by Anachri, even though it's Nisim Midrabanan, it might still not be a Shvus to Shvus, it might only be one Shvus, because I'm in violation of it even though I'm passive. There could be Isurim that are just the opposite. The whole Isur is only to engage in the action. But if it's being done on my behalf and I'm not the one who's actually doing it, there might be no violation at all. For example, the Shaar HaTzion discusses, what about to ask a Nachri to do Uvda Dechoyol on your behalf? And he quotes some Achrayim who argue that that's permitted. Why? Because the whole Isur of Uvda Dechoyol is engaging in the activity itself. If it's being done on my behalf, perhaps there's no Isur at all. It's not even us in the Rabbanah because of Amir Lenachri. That's the issue that some Poskim raise with regards to shoveling snow, unfortunately, in Yonah Deyoma. They're shoveling snow on Shabbos. So what exactly is the Isur in shoveling snow? It's no muksa. It's been beyond the scope of our discussion right now. But many conclude that the Isur of shoveling snow is only one of Uvda Dechoyol. And therefore, perhaps to ask a Nachri to do it on your behalf on Shabbos would not be Asmid Rabbana, it might even be Heter Gomer. Because the whole issue is only engaging in the action itself. The Prima Gadim in Hilchas Yom Tov also has a suffix. What about Hachana on Shabbos? Can I ask a Nachri to be Meichen for me on Shabbos to Chol? What's the issue of Hachana on Shabbos? It's because of Tircha Shalai L'Tzarech Shabbos. You're engaging in an action that's a Tircha. You're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. You know, folding, packing, whatever. Moving furniture, whatever. You're not supposed to do these things on Shabbos because it's a tircha. What if a nachri is going to be the one who's doing it? So it's not a malacha. It's only us because it's a tircha. So if I ask the nachri to do it, and I'm not being matriach, maybe it's heter gomer. So the Prima Gadim has one sad like that. The Mishnah Berurah is machmir on this, but the Marsham in his commentary, the Das Torah on Shulchan Aruch, is meikol. And many are meikol like the Marsham. If you ever gone to we don't bring rayas from hotels and caterers and Pesach programs because they often don't do things that are right in the first place. But if you ever been to one of these programs, oftentimes they set the table then on first day Yom Tov for the second night of Yom Tov. We don't do that in the home. You don't set the table on the first day Yom Tov for the second day Yom Tov. You're not allowed to be meichen from one day of Yom Tov to the other. But in many hotels they do that. So perhaps there's a tzad lahakel, because who's setting the table is a nachri, and perhaps one is allowed to ask a nachri to mechen for you from Shabbos to Chol, for one day of Yontif to the other. The whole issue is only engaged in the action. If you're not the one who's doing it, perhaps it can be allowed. Or a person, let's say, as a help in the house, they want to pack up the house to get out, right away, Motzei Shabbos. They're at the in-laws, they need to run out, you know, they've been there long enough. So maybe you could ask the help, if they'll pack your suitcases for you, to pack the suitcase, so you can run out Motzei Shabbos. Maybe that's called, good enough reason to be maker, like the Marsham, to be maker from Shabbos to Yontif. Yeah.
You could ask
them
to heat up food for you on
the
first day
of Yom Tov,
or second day of
Yom Tov? Same issue. Yeah, same issue. Same issue. So there, Mishnah Berurah is machmer. I've asked Rabbi Wilg about this. He thought, no way can we be meiko, but the Marsham is meiko. And many know about this. It's not a secret. Many know about this. So it's hard to be machmer, at least to those who are aware of the issue. There are more, right? Another example of this, where the Isser Amira or Nachri, once you ask a Nachri to do it, the whole Isser might not apply. Meaning, it might be us for us to do it, but once you ask a Nachri to do it, it's not only us from the Rabbanan, it might be Hetta Gomer. It's with regards to a Psik Reshe. The Ramah discusses in Shulchan Aruch sweeping the floor on Shabbos if it's a dirt floor. So we don't do that because Shemayash Vegumos, you might come to smooth out the floor. Even though your intention when you sweep the floor, if your intention is to smooth out the floor, of course it's Isser. But let's say your intention is to pick up the crumbs, but you have a dirt floor. So it's a davar sheni miskaven that you might come to smooth out the floor. So it's Isser because it's a psik reshe. Every time you sweep up the crumbs, even though it's an unintended secondary result, it's a davar sheni miskaven, but it happens every time. So that's what we call psik reshe, and that's prohibited. You're not allowed to sweep a dirt floor on Shabbos, even though your intention is only to pick up crumbs. Psik reshe, you're going to be mash v'gumos. You're going to smooth out the floor, which is a derivative of chayresh. Not only allowed to dig holes, you're not allowed to smooth out ground either. Fine. But the Ramah writes, if you ask a Nachri to do it, then it's allowed. Because Psik Reshe, Odi Amir Nachri, is allowed. The Ramah has this also in Siman Reishon and Gimel, with regards to heating up food on Shabbos, that the Ramah says you're not allowed to put food back on a flame on Shabbos, or to put it on top of a stove that's not on. And then you're going to turn on the stove. You're not allowed to turn on the stove in the first place. So can't put it back on. Or even if the stove is going to turn on later, it might be including the Isser of HaChazara. What if I ask, the Nachri puts back food on top of the stove, and then he's going to light the stove because HaKol Cholim Eitzel Hatzino. When it comes to the cold, we spoke about last time, Nachri is allowed to light a flame on Shabbos in order so people shouldn't be too cold, so they should be warm. And that was the practice in every home in Europe, was the Nachrim would put logs into the fire Shabbos morning. So let's say before the Nachri puts the log into the fire, he'll put the cholent back on top of the the radiator, or the boiler, or the fireplace. So the Ramah says, even though independently this might not have been allowed, since the main purpose of the Nachri lighting the stove or lighting the radiator is because of Kochol Meitzlatzina, which is allowed, even though it's a psikresha that your food is going to get heated up, when the psikresha, the Amir Nachri, is allowed, you can ask the Nachri to put the cholent there first. Because when he actually heats it up, his intention is not to heat up the cholent, the intention is to heat up the house because of Kochol Meitzlatzina. So psikresha, the Amir Nachri, is allowed. And Baruch, the Imre Baruch, which is a commentary in the side of the Shulchan Aruch, explains that this is allowed because Isser Amir or Nachri only applies to that which I asked the Nachri to do explicitly. If I asked the Nachri to sweep the floor is to pick up the crumbs. I didn't ask him to smooth out the floor. So since that's not what I asked him, the Isser Amir or Nachri doesn't apply to that. Even though that's inevitable that it's going to occur, that's not what I asked him to do. What I asked him to do was a davar mutar. I asked him to pick up the crumbs. He's picking up the crumbs. Ah, it's a psikresha, you're going to smooth out the floor, but that's not what I asked him to do. This Amir Nachri only relates to what I asked him to do. So therefore, Moshe writes in Nigras Moshe, with the classical case of the person who forgets to take his light bulb out of his refrigerator, that how do you get the food out on Shabbos? So the best eitzah is to ask a Nachri to open the door. Opening the door is a davar mutar. Ah, but it's a psikresha. It's even though your intention is not for the light, your intention is to open the door. But the light is inevitable that it's going to turn on. Secondary unintended result that is prohibited. It occurs every time is usher. But if I ask a Nachri to do it, all I asked him to do was to open the refrigerator door. That's the davar mutar. The fact that the light turns on after is not what I asked him to do. The Isser of Amir or Nachri therefore should not apply. Or let's say I want to ask him the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa discusses.
Ask him to close the door also?
Can I ask him to close the door also? Or Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa discusses, what about a person who asks a Nachri to wash dishes on Shabbos? Can I ask him to use the hot water? So what's the problem with using that water on Shabbos in most homes is because cold water is going to rush into the hot water heater in its place. And it's going to turn out that you're cooking water on Shabbos, even though that's not the water I'm using. The water I'm using is already hot. New cold water is going to come and take its place. It's a psik reishi. It occurs every time. You know, it's not my intention. It happens every time. But if I ask an ocher to use that water, so using that water right now is mutter. There's hot water in the hot water heater. Ah, cold water is going to come into its place. Is that what I asked an ocher to do? So therefore, this is of amir and ocher not applying. You could ask an ocher to use the hot water. Most people with seichel will use hot water anyway, but you could ask an ocher to use the hot water on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch tells us over here in Siman Reish Mem Zayin Sif Gimel, you know, it's similar, a derivative of this as well, is that one is allowed to give a malacha to a nachri to do during the week, even knowing that the nachri might perform that malacha on Shabbos. Again, because this Ramir Nachri only relates to what I asked the nachri to do. So I asked the nachri dry clean my clothes, and I gave it to him on Tuesday. He decides to do it on Shabbos. So that's permitted, because it's not what I asked him to do. Same principle. I asked him to do it during the week. He decided to do it on Shabbos. That's what's called Adai de Denafshe Oved. The Nachri decided to do that on his own on Shabbos. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch Reish Mem Zayin Sif Gimel. So the Kaf HaChaim, which is, of course, you know, everyone knows what the Kaf HaChaim is, the Sephardi version of the Mishnah Berurah. But the Kaf HaChaim quotes from a Tshuvas Marikash. That based on this, many extended this even a little bit further. What if I asked the Nachri to wash the floor? And the Nachri chooses to use a mop. Mop is Asar on Shabbos to use because of Schita, a told of Mefarik, which is a derivative of Dash. Threshing. You're not allowed to extract a kernel of grain from the husk. You're not allowed to extract liquid from a salad or a water from a cloth mop. So you can't mop the floor on Shabbos. But, Marikash says, the Nachri could have used a squeegee. In America, nobody uses a squeegee, mm-hmm. So this heter doesn't apply. You can't ask a Nachri to mop the floor on Shabbos. So, but in Eretz Yisrael, you could use a squeegee, or in, he was discussing in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, this is Sephardi lands, they use squeegee. So he could have used a squeegee. He decides to use the mop. There's both there in the, you know, in the utility closet. He decides, okay, so that's a daita d'nafshei avad. So perhaps that can also be allowed. That's also a diet. Or a situation arrives in Manhattan. Some buildings, when you get in, there's a doorman has to, you know, unlock the magnet in order, an electromagnet, in order for you to get in. He buzzes you in. So am I allowed to go into such a building on Shabbos? I walk to the door and he opens it, presses a button. So the answer is, many say, he could have got off his tuchus and opened the door himself manually. Every door has a manual, you know, on the inside because of a fire hazard. There's always a manual, you know, bar opens the door. He decides to open it with a button because it's easier for him. He doesn't want to have to get up off his tuchus. He sits over there and looks at you and he buzzes you in. So then that's a diet to the nafshi of it. He did that all for himself. He didn't do that for me. He did that for himself. Or let's say you ask the nachri to wash the dishes on Shabbos. So if you have a Shabbos sponge there, you know, with the bristles that are spread apart, or you have a regular sponge there. So if you have both options there and the nachri decides to use the regular sponge, not the Shabbos sponge, so that's a diet to the nafshe of it. That would be allowed. Using a sponge is also schita. But if all I have there is a regular sponge, so then as you can't ask the nachri to wash the dishes. There's no mutter way for him to have gone about it. In my house, we always have, sometimes if we have a lot of guests, we have a nachri come over to help, or, you know, clean up or set up or whatever, wash the dishes. So I always keep makbid. Otherwise, we don't wash dishes on Shabbos. We load the dishwasher and run it Motzei Shabbos. But if we need, let's say, a guest Friday night, we're going to use the same dishes Shabbos days, we'll have a nachri come wash the dishes. So the I always have a Shabbos sponge there. Nachri never uses a Shabbos sponge, but if you don't have the Shabbos sponge there, then there's no mutter way for them to wash the dishes. They can't use a sponge. I can't ask a Nachri to do a malacha for me. But if there's a Shabbos sponge there and he decides to use a regular sponge, that's on him. That's a diet to the nafshi
over. Yeah. Let's say it's Friday. It's like 2 hours, like an hour before Shabbos.
Nope.
Can you ask someone, like the dry cleaners, to do a close view?
No. Oh, if there's time to do it before Shabbos or after Shabbos.
No, your cuts off, it'll be fine anyway.
If I ask him to do it, if I ask him to do it on Shabbos.
No, you don't ask him to do it on Shabbos. You just say,
I'll pick it up on Monday.
Of course it's Mutter.
So then even if it's like, let's say, 10 minutes before Shabbos, I don't have time to do it right now.
No problem.
If you ask him, if you say, I want to pick it up. right after Shabbos. Most of Shabbos is not enough time.
And there's no time.
Yeah,
if there is time. I don't know how long it takes. I don't want to minimize dry cleaning, but I really don't think it takes that long to dry clean a shirt.
Right.
So it probably takes less than 18 minutes. So depends how late you're running and how quickly you get there until Shabbos. But yeah. The Shmir Shabbos go chas across the name of Shlomo Zalman. If a Nachri does a malacha for you, kalachar yad, perhaps that's a double durabanan. This Shmir Shabbos Kochas in the Chelek Gimel, I don't know how this translates into the modern volumes, but there used to be two volumes of Shmir Shabbos Kochas and Tikkunim or Hasafas in the Chelek Gimel. So in the Chelek Gimel, he calls him a Pima Gadim who's Mesupik about this. But he said, let's say, if a Nachri does a malacha for me, kalachar yad, it's a double durabanan. So the Shmir Shabbos Kochas then asks, or the Achrenim ask, one minute, then every time a Nachri does a malacha for me, it should always be a double durabanan. Why? He could have done a kalachar yad. Who told you to do it in the normal way? You decided to do it in the normal way. That's a da'at in the nafshei avad. So every time you ask an achri to do this, I ask him to turn him on the light. Who told you to turn it on with your hand? You could have turned it on with your elbow. So that's a da'at in the nafshei avad. If I ask him to turn it on with his elbow and he turns it on with his hand, yeah, that's a double derabanan, maybe. Shmir Shabbos Kochas is not sure if that's called a shvus to shvus, because mi'or nachri kalachar yad is just strange. If a Jew does a kalachar yad, that's a derabanan. If an achri does a kalachar yad, maybe not. But even according to the Tzad, let's say that it is considered to be a double derabanan. Why don't you say every time an Achri does a malach for me, it's a kalach yad, because he could it's a shvus to shvus. He could have done a kalach yad, even though he decided to do it in the normal way. So the Orcha Shabbos concludes, you have to say something like this, that the only time we say adat the nafshei avad is if it's reasonable that he could have done it in the mutter way. Let's say, there's two sponges there. He could have used a regular sponge. He could have used a sabbath sponge. He decides to use a regular sponge. That's a da'at of the nafshei avad. If I ask the nafshei to wash the floor, and there's a mop with a bucket, and there's no other reasonable way that he could wash, I guess he could take, shmatas and a fantastic bottle and start spraying and washing the whole, get down on his hands and knees and wash the whole thing. I guess he could have done that, let's say there's only a regular sponge. He could have washed the dishes with his hands and put soap on his hands.
Why would he do that?
But nobody in the world who has seichel does that.
Exactly.
So right. So why didn't I say, oh, who told you to use a sponge? You could have used your hands and soap. So that's unreasonable. It's unreasonable to assume that that's what, and call that a diet to the nafshei avad. The only time you can call something a diet to the nafshei avad is if there's two reasonable ways that he could have gone about it, then he decides to do it in the yasser way as opposed to in the mutter way. But if there's no reasonable way for him to have gone about this, so then in a mutter way, then it's hard to argue that that's called a diet to the nafshei avad. Let's say I ask a nachri, in a hotel, can you bring this to the 30th floor for me? So if I say, can you bring it to the second floor, and he decides to take the elevator, okay, that's the Orcha Shabbos example. That's called the Da'at Nafshei Avad. He could have taken the stairs. If the elevator would be broken, the manager would probably ask him to take the stairs. If it's a 60-floor hotel, and a guy needs a pillow, I don't know if the manager would ask him, when the elevator's broken, can you walk up 60 flights of stairs to get this guy a pillow? They'd probably tell you, sorry, the elevator's broken. So at that point, they ask the Nachri, who told you to take the elevator? It's a da'at to the nafshei avad. It's a hard argument, because it's just unreasonable for him to have done things in any other way.
So in all these examples, like for instance, if your example of the electronic gate, if it's a real schlep to go to the gate and open
it's
the
not.
I'm saying based on the example, whatever it is.
But it just isn't.
That's
a practical example. I've never seen a building, and I'm in a lot of different buildings, never seen a building where the guard booth, or whoever is buzzing you in, is not right next to the door. Usually they're a few feet from the door.
Right. Whoever it is, I'm saying it could be someone's home, and it could be like the helper in the home. I'm saying I've seen houses for sure where the buzzer and the gate are far away.
It's not unreasonable to walk. I'm sure if the buzzer would be broken, whoever is tasked with opening the door would be asked, go open the door. It's just, it's rare. I mean, I guess you couldn't even have it.
I assume reasonable doesn't need to be equal, because for the washing dishes,
correct,
the regular sponge is better than the Shabbos sponge.
Correct.
But it's still a reasonable.
I think it's reasonable. Okay. Sane people use the Shabbos sponge. I wouldn't call anybody who uses it insane. Yeah.
This sort of that having.
If I saw a person washing dishes with their hands, I'd say this is a person who's never washed dishes before. Yeah.
The Sparta of a Nachri doing Malacha with a Shinui being a double Durabanan. So
yeah.
That would only, I guess, bring you to the point of being able to invoke it when you have it's sort of...
Of course! But can we say every time it's a Shvus to Shvus? Every time I ask a Nachri to turn on the light, that's called the Shvus to Shvus? Or we say no, because he could have done it with his elbow? The answer is that's unreasonable. Yeah. a derivative of all of this, okay? We started, the Shulchan Aruch said, if I ask him to do it during the week, if he does it on Shabbos, that's up to him. But we extended that to any time there's two ways of going about something and he decides to do it in an Issa way, even though there's an equally reasonable way of doing it in a Heter way. That's also called a Da'at Din Av She'avad. However, the Taz takes this, as quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, some Reishon and Beis of Kan Chav Zayin, even one step further. Let's say I ask a Nachri to do something, because again, I mean, Nachri only relates to that which I ask a Nachri to do, which is based really on the Ramo also, that if it's a Psik Reisha, if I ask a Nachri to do something Mutter, even though that's going to trigger an Iser, that's not what I asked him to do. I asked him to do the Davar Mutter. So based on all of this, the Taz concludes the following. Let's say I ask a Nachri to go into a dark room and get a book for me. The only way he's going to be able to get the book is if he turns on the light. But I didn't ask him to turn on the light. I asked him to get the book. So the Taz says, even though I know he's going to turn on the light, it's allowed. He's turning on the light for himself, and that's not what I asked him to do. And even if I want the light on, so I could go and later read that book in that room, still allowed, because it's not what I asked the Nachri to do. So I asked the Nachri to go wash the dishes in the kitchen. The lights are off in the kitchen. I didn't ask him to turn on the light. I asked him to wash the dishes. Washing the dishes is the Davar Mutter if I have a Shabbos sponge, right? So if he turns on the light, that's a Da'at Din Av She'avad, that's on him. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger discusses that this was the heter they used to do to get the light on in the study if it was off, was that they would ask the Nachri, or, you know, go get the schnapps bottle. Is in the room. We'll share it l'chaim. Oh, the light's off. So go get, you know, and the Nachri will say, oh, but I want to have a shot of the schnapps. So he'll open the light for himself, or to go get the schnapps. So then that's all allowed, and then I could use the light subsequently because he turned on the light for himself.
Would that
have to, for example, I'll get to your question in a second. This is a common occurrence. Person has help on Shabbos, yeah? But they're not a live-in. They travel back and forth. So can I ask them to come Shabbos morning? Many persons say yes. I'm asking the guy to come. There's no Easter walking in my door. I don't care how you get here. I don't care what you do on your free time. You want to go home? Go home. That's up to you. The fact that he took a taxi here or he drove his car here, that's not what I asked him to do. If I ask a delivery man, please go bring this to my friend, I'm asking you to travel on Shabbos. That's an Issur of Amil and Achri. But I'm not asking you to travel. I'm asking you to be at my house Shabbos morning. What you do on your interim, I could care less. So then that's a Da'at Din Av She'avad. Wouldn't be a problem with Amil and Achri. Yeah.
This is not yet the application of the Ramah's rule of and
secret. Same idea, same conceptual notion, which is, I mean, Nachri relates to what I asked Nachri to do, not with collateral actions.
But we're also kind of throwing in the concept of adopted Nachri.
It is, it really is. It's related to adopted Nachri.
Right, but there's no other way for him to do it.
I asked Nachri dry clean clothes on Tuesday, dry clean clothes. You decided to do it on Shabbos. I didn't ask you to do that. So Amil and Nachri doesn't apply.
Right,
same notion. Same concept. Okay. Yeah, you want
to? Would the heter of asking to go into the dark room to get the book apply even if the Nachri knows that you're doing it so you can go read later? It's your living help and they realize, okay, he just wants the light on.
No, doesn't work. No. Yeah. It's a ruse, it doesn't work.
Do we not apply the Orchel Shabbos as reasonable
we do.
Description to this case?
I think we would.
Of leaving and coming back?
No. That's not what I asked. Again, there's two things. I asked you to wash the dishes, right? The obvious way to do it is an Easter way. Well, we said, well, you could have done it a Mutter way. Then you evoke, well, really, you know, it has to be reasonable. Here, I'm not asking you to do an Easter at all. I'm asking you to show up at my door Shabbos morning. You could walk to, I don't care what you do. You could sleep outside or go sleep in the park. I don't care what you do in the interim. I don't care. I'm not even discussing that with you. That's not what I asked you. See, that's different than the case of the, even though it's unreasonable, of course, for the guy to sleep outside, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I mean, enough only ways to what I asked you. So if the obvious way of doing it is an Easter, again, if I ask the guy, travel, you know, go bring this to my friend 5 miles away. So, yeah, then it's unreasonable for him to walk. He's probably going to take a taxi. Or he's probably going to drive. Then what I'm asking you to do, the obvious way is an Easter. And we say, well, that then actually it only applies if it's reasonable to do it any other way. I'm not asking you to do an Easter at all. I'm asking you to show up at my door. So that's that discussion wouldn't apply. The Rabbi Kiva Eiger in Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Chavos Yoer, who discusses, what if I ask a Nachri to ask a Nachri in the game of telephone? Amira d'Amira. So the Chavos Yoer first quotes from the Avodas HaGershuni, who was a contemporary of his. The Chavos Yoer says that it's allowed, and then he quotes from the Avodas HaGershuni, who disagrees. He says, both in Svara and in proof. Meaning, he says, It makes a logical sense, and there's a Gemara, a Mishnah against it. So it makes no sense, because it's still V'daber Davar, you're still discussing Melacha and Shabbos, and he's still your Shliach. He's a Shliach of a Shliach, he's still your Shliach. So maybe you could argue he's not a Shliach of a Shliach, but you're discussing doing Melacha and Shabbos. It should at least be V'daber Davar.
That never always falls away if you have a justifiable reason for it, no?
No. What are you talking about?
Meaning, if it's a
there's mitigating circumstances, but we're not discussing mitigating circumstances. We're discussing, I'm asking you not for you to do malacha for me. No mitigating circumstances.
Even without that?
I want a light turned on.
So I ask Chris to ask...
Chavis, you already held Amira, the Amira is allowed. There's no issue of Amira or
nothing. At all.
Yeah. Nevodis HaGershuni says... He says it's v'daber davar, and then he quotes from a Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun. The Mishnah says, I can't hire po'alim on Shabbos, and not only that, I can't ask a nukri to hire po'alim workers for me. It's a Mishnah, it's a Gemara. Amir d'amiri is prohibited. So Samsofer, though, distinguishes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes like this in Shin Zayin, Sikon Chavdal, from Shlomo Kluger, that perhaps if you ask him on Erev Shabbos with an Amir d'amira, to do something on Shabbos, then perhaps there's room already to be meiko. Why? Because I'm not v'daber davar. I'm not discussing melacha on Shabbos. I'm discussing melacha on Friday. Yes, but he's your shliach. That's why you can't have a miro nachmi from Friday to Shabbos. Yeah, but here it's a miro da miro. He's the person I asked, not the one who's doing it. He asked somebody else. He passed it along. So maybe he's not my shliach. So then maybe if I ask him on Erev Shabbos and a miro da miro, it can be allowed. But even that, Mishnah Berurah is not happy. He quotes from Shlomo Kluger that B'shas Ha'chak you make Amira D'Amira and only on Erev Shabbos, and even that the Mishnah Berurah does not think we should rely upon. So Amira D'Amira is a very, very Shvach HaKula. The Isav Amira Nachri applies whether I asked Nachri to do it or even if I just hinted to him to do it, but there are instances when hinting might make a difference. The Gemara says, Masech the Shabbos, that you're not allowed to hire, we just mentioned, Daf Kuf Nun, you're not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos. But if I say to the workers, you know, stick around Matzei Shabbos, you never know what might happen. Yeah. Never know. So the Gemara says, that's allowed. He'll understand that there's going to be work Matzei Shabbos, but I didn't ask him on Shabbos, could you work for me Matzei Shabbos? So he says, stick around. You never know what might happen. So the Rama quotes this in Shin Zayin Siv Zayin. The one is allowed to be merames to a nachri. However, the Rama adds, that's one sif. The Rama adds around Shin Zayin Siv Chav Beis. That's only if I'm merames for him to do something Matzei Shabbos, not on Shabbos. I'm merames to him, stick around till Matzei Shabbos, you never know what might happen. But if it's on Shabbos itself, no heter v'miza. No, then you can't do it. And that's the implication of another Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, I think Adav Kuf Chav Beis, that if there's a house that's burning down on Shabbos, assuming it's not in a populated area where it'd be Sekanas Nefashos, you're in a desert island, and no one else is in danger. So then you're not allowed to ask a Nachri to put out the fire, because there's no imminent danger. But I could say to him, Kal Mechabe Eino Mafsid, whoever will put it out won't lose, meaning I'll pay you. But I don't say it explicitly, I hint to him, whoever put it out won't lose. That's because it's b'makom hefsed gadol, so it's allowed. So that implies, unless it's b'makom hefsed gadol, says the Rama, you can't be meramis to a nachri to do something on Shabbos. You can only be meramis to the nachri to do something on Matzei Shabbos. But on Shabbos itself, no. The Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Ayin Vav, though, quotes from a Magen Avram, who distinguishes between two types of remiza. There's one type of remiza that's b'derech tzivoy. Stick around, Matzei Shabbos, you never know what might happen. Whoever will put it out won't lose. I mentioned the action in my remiza. But then there's a remiza that he calls Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma, where I just discuss the issue in general. I tell him a sob story. You know, I have stuff going on Tuesday. It would be so nice if I had people. But I don't tell them to do anything. I don't say stick around. I don't say whoever puts it out won't lose. So if it's Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma, then the Rama says, then it can be allowed. The Paiskim, though, discusses, as Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, I've gone through this rigmarole a few times already, and the guy says, oh, Rabbi, you want the light turned on, so then that's not Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma anymore. That's just, we made a code. If I tap my head and rub my nose and he knows what I mean, so then that's the equivalent of sign language. So then that's a different type of language, which would also be included in the Iser of Amiru and Nachri. So it has to be that he really doesn't understand what's going on. But if it is a Sipur Dvar Biyama, then the Magen Avraham has a Tzadakula. Then it can be allowed. The problem, though, with all of this is that the Mishnah tells us, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, I think, that if a Nachri lights a candle for me on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to benefit from it, even though I didn't ask the Nachri to do it at all. Even though I didn't ask the Nachri to do it at all, I'm not allowed to benefit from it. The Ramah writes in Simei Reish Ayin Vav, Sifah Aleph, I don't have to leave the room. Let's say I'm sitting in a room and Nachri comes and turns on a light. I don't have to run out. I was here first. But if Nachri turns on a light, I'm not supposed to go and use the light. And the Magen Avraham quotes in the Gemara Mordechai, if I see him about to do it, in the name of Rabbeinu Simcha, if I see him about to do it, I have to tell him to stop. You have to be Moichet. So what do you mean you could be Merame? Is there a Sipur Dvarim B'Alma? How could that be allowed? I have to ask the Nachri to stop if I see him doing it, even though I didn't ask him at all. By the way, the Bir Halacha says, this is important, Kula, if I have a candle on, let's say I have lights on in the house. Nachri comes, cleans up, turns off the light in the kitchen. I can say to the Nachri, why did you turn off the light in the kitchen? The light was on. And the Nachri will go and turn back on the light. That's up to the, that's because they made a mistake. She's turning on the light now for herself, or for himself, not for me. You made a mistake. I intended for the lights to be on, and I tell you, please don't touch the lights. You should tell the Nachri, please don't touch the lights. If the Nachri turns it off, then they did that. Then they're allowed to plug it in or do it back, turn it back on, because they're doing that for themselves. Or the Mishnah Berurah writes in Reishayim Vav Sifkan Lamed Vav. If I ask the Nachri, don't turn on the light, the Nachri says, I don't care what you say, I'm turning on the light anyway. Then I'm allowed to benefit from the light. They did that for themselves. But if I ask the Nachri, don't turn on the light, and they turn on the light. I told them already not to do it, and they didn't listen to me. Then this of Amir Nachri again wouldn't apply. It only applies, you know, to the things that they think I would want. But if a Nachri does it, even though I didn't ask them for it, it's still us. So the Taisus already, Masechta Shabbos, asks, how can I ever be Meramis to a Nachri? Call Mechabe, you know, Mafsid, or to tell him, stick around Matzei Shabbos. You never know what might happen. I had to Vermiza, the Magen Avraham said, that's only if it's there at Tzivoy. And, you know, it's only around Matzei Shabbos, or B'makom Hefsid Gadol. But the Magen Avraham said, if it's there, that's only because it's there at Tzivoy. If it's there, Tzivoy Dvar B'Alma could be allowed even on Shabbos. But even if I see a Nachri doing it by himself, without even asking him, I have to stop him. And if he does it, I'm not allowed to be nana from the Malacha. So Taisus distinguishes between two types of benefit. There's one type of benefit they could have from something being removed. A Hanah Shalilis, a fire being put out. So then one is allowed to be Meramis to a Nachri, B'derech Sipur Dvarim B'Alma, or if it's for B'makom Hefsed, even Ramiza B'derech Tzivoy, one is allowed to be Meramis and the Nachri to do it. But if it's he's creating a new avenue of Hana that didn't previously exist, he's not removing something. I'm benefiting from that which he did, like turning on a light, then there's no Heter of Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Alma, and even if I see the Nachri doing it, I have to tell him to stop it. If he does it on my behalf, I'm not allowed to benefit from that which he did. That's the distinction that Tosfos draws, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Lamed Dalet Sifkan Samach Aleph. I'm now allowed to benefit from a new thing that the Nachri created. If he's removing a problem, then I'm allowed to be Meramis him Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Alma. So let's say I need a light off. I need to, you know, so then I'm allowed to be Meramis to the Nachri. It'd be nice if the light would be off. But, or, you know, no one can sleep because the lights are on and we don't turn off lights on Shabbos. But if it's, I need a light on, you can never be Meramis. And even Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Alma would not be allowed. So therefore, Moshe writes in the English Moshe, you can't be able to tell a Sipur Dvarim B'Alma to turn on an air conditioner. That's a new avenue of Hana. Even though I could have sat in the room before, I'm benefiting from that which Nachri did. That's the basis for a difficult Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if I have shoes, Shin Chavav, Sekon Tezvav, if I have shoes that need to be polished, so I can't be Meramis to the Nachri to polish them. Because that's a new, even though I could wear the shoes before, polished shoes are, you see the thought process of the Mishnah Berurah, who would wear dirty shoes, dusty shoes. Polished shoes is a whole different item than dusty shoes. So I can't be Meramis to the Nachri to do that on my back. That's called benefiting from that which the Nachri did. What about if I ask the Nachri to carry, can I be Meramis to a Nachri to carry something through which is a rabbin for me? Well, let's say a key. Let's say I have, you know, a key, something trapped in a house. And I don't have the key to the house. The key I left in shul. Can I be meramis to the nachri to carry it from the shul to me at the house? So that's, he's not creating anything. He's just allowing me to get inside the house. So Rav Moshe writes that that's also called creating something new. You're not allowed to do that. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that that's called just removing an impediment, like putting out a fire. That would be allowed. Interesting machlokes. Could have a nafkamina. What if I have a chalas trapped? I once had this in my old shul. I have chalas, a guy with chalas trapped in his car. He left the Shabbos chalas in the car. Can he ask the nachri to get the chalas? So he's doing a malacha, but is that called the nachri creating the chalas? Meaning, is that called benefiting? Can I be meramis to the nachri? Oh, my chalas are trapped in the car. So the truth of the matter is, there might be no malacha in opening the car door, because what I'm asking the nachri to do is open the car door. The fact that all the bells and whistles go off is a psikreshe. That's not what his intention is. His intention is just to open the door. So maybe it's het degomer. But if, in order to open the door, you have to click something, so then can it be meramis to the nachri to get the chalas? So if, except for Moshe's argument, you can't. He's creating the chalas. But if you accept Shlomo Zalman's argument, all he's doing is removing the impediment of the fact that they're trapped in the car. But maybe it would be allowed. Interesting shayla we once had that. Yeah.
A non-Jew does it
a melacha ba'al korcha. Not ba'al korcha, without telling you, but he does it for you on your behalf.
Right,
but if he does Baal Karach, then you can benefit from it.
You can't benefit from it more than you otherwise would. Of
course you can. He did that for himself.
No, but if he did it for himself, but if he did it in Baal Karach for your sake.
I tell him, don't do it. And he continues to do it anyway. Then he's not doing it for me. He's doing it for himself. That's the Mishnah Berurah, Reish Ayin Vav, Sifkan Lam Vav. Look it up. The Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, is also Mishnah Masechta Zbeitz. It says that something that comes Michutz L'Tchum, a Nachri who brings something Michutz L'Tchum, is called creating something new on Shabbos, and I'm not allowed to benefit from that which the Nachri did. That's no different than if he turned on a light. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Zayin Sif Yudalin, that one is allowed, let's say Nachri brings a letter on Shabbos, you're allowed to open the letter, because in those days there was stuff that was of imminent importance in the letter, and therefore you're allowed to open the letter because of Pikuach Nefesh, but the implication of the Shulchan Aruch is that otherwise that would be prohibited. Because the Nachri brought something from you, Michutz L'Tchum, or outside of the Eruv, he performed the Malach of Haitzaf on your behalf on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to benefit from that which you did. It's called creating something new. Rav Bodner, in his Muksa book, quotes from Rav Moshe, this heter doesn't apply anymore in our times. Nothing important is, of imminent importance, time-sensitive material is coming in the mail anymore. So therefore, you can't open letters. He quotes from Shlomo Zalman, the mail is not Muksa, because you could use the letters as a coaster or as a bookmark, or the Mishnah Berurah discusses, as a bottle stopper. That doesn't really apply in our times, but... you have the coaster, the bookmark, but then the Rabbaner backs out and he says, well, what about that part of the mail that you would never use as a coaster or bookmark? You get a paycheck. Only, a crazy person would use that as a coaster for his coffee. So then, since we're not sure what's in the mail, there might be checks, there might be bills of importance, so we don't try and handle the mail on Shabbos, so we would perhaps treat it as mukta. So the heter that the Shulchan Aruch discusses about opening a letter and handling a letter on Shabbos wouldn't apply in our time, and it might even be prohibited in Hana, because it came to you from outside of the Tchum. If you know what it is, it's shoes from Zappos. I don't think that it's Muktza. You can't, the Nachri brought it from you, Michutz L'Tchum, we'll get to it in a second, but I don't think it's also about either. But if a Nachri would have brought it, I asked him to carry it for me, Michutz L'Tchum, he brought it just for me, Michutz L'Tchum, or he performed Hotzah just for me, then it might be prohibited to wear the shoes on Shabbos. I don't think it would necessarily make it Muksa. Maybe. Mishnah Berurah discussed it in Sekhan Nunvav. Outside of the scope of our discussion. Okay, but that's something new, which you're not allowed to benefit from on Shabbos. What about, though, it's not something new, like a candle that was lit just for me. A Nachri, let's say I have a candle in the room. A Nachri lights an additional candle. So Shulchan Aruch writes in Shimon Reish Ayavav Siv Dalet, if I could have sat in the room reading before. A Nachri comes and he lights an additional candle for me. So he didn't create a new avenue of Hana. I could have done this without the additional candle that Nachri lit. Then I'm allowed to benefit from that which Nachri did. I'm not allowed to, you know, probably not allowed to ask him to light a candle for me, but I'm allowed to benefit from that which he did. Because I could have read in the room, even if I could only read in the room b'shas hachak, as long as I could have read in the room before, I'm allowed to benefit from that which he did. It's now called a new avenue of Hana. However, you really shouldn't ask the Nachri to do it, but if he did it, you're allowed to be meramis to him. You're allowed to benefit from it. What about being meramis to a Nachri, derech sipur dvarim bi'alma, to turn on a light if it's an additional light? So we said, if he lit it for you, you're allowed to benefit from it. What about being meramis to him to do it? Or do I have to tell him to stop if I see him doing it? So usually, the iser of being merames goes together with the iser of benefiting. Here I'm allowed to benefit. But at the same time, the heter of remiza is usually limited to those things which are removing an impediment, like putting out a fire, not to creating something new. So here it's creating something new, but I'm allowed to benefit from it. So it's somewhat of a gray area. So you look it up in the Mishnah Berurah. This comes up a lot. You wouldn't believe it, but it comes up a lot. Let's say there's one light in the room. Can it be merames to the Nachri to turn on an additional light? I don't need it, but I would like to have the second line. So you look it up in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah Shin Zayin Sifkan Ayin Vav, and he'll tell you that it's mutter. I once had this over the summertime. I had two people come showing me two different Mishnah Berurahs. Shin Ayin Zayin Sifkan Ayin Vav says that it's mutter. In Reish Ayin Vav Sifkan Lam Zayin, Mishnah Berurah says Zasar. We can't tell either way, head or tail, from the Shabbat. We'll look up in Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. It's exactly what we did. So you look in Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. So one place Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says allowed, the other place says not allowed. He was just parroting the Mishnah Berurah. It's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. Steer in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa just because he's parroting the Mishnah Berurah. So Rav Moshe holds that it's allowed. Rav Shlomo Zalman is machmir. Shouldn't do it. Okay. Machleik is achran. Can you ask the Nachri to be? Can you be meramis the Nachri to light an additional candle? If he did it, you're allowed to benefit from it, but can you? You're not allowed to ask him explicitly because he's doing malacha.
Right.
But can you be meramis him derech sipur dvarim bi'alma to turn on the additional light? The Mishnah says Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Beis Mid Aleph. If a Nachri lit a candle for you, you're not allowed to benefit from it. What if the Nachri lit a candle for himself? Then I'm allowed to benefit from it. Ner liyechad, ner lemeya. Then it's the same candle for him is the same candle for me. What about if he heats up water for himself? Can I drink the water? There the Mishnah says no. The Gemara explains, because Gzeira Shema Yarba B'Shviloi. He might, if he knows that I ask, I want coffee too, he might add water to that which he's heating up for me too. And that additional water will be an Issa of Ribui B'Shurim. Even though he's heating up water for himself, he's heating additional water for me, that's Asar. So I'm not, even if he heated up a whole urn, our whole coffee pot, I'm not allowed to take some of the coffee. Gzeir Hashem Yar B'Bishvilo. The Shulchan Aruch though writes in Shin Chav Hesef Yud, that's only if he's makir, if he knows you. If he doesn't know me, I came out of nowhere. There's no way he could have anticipated that I would come, or there's no way he's going to heat up water for me. There's no Gzeir Hashem Yar B'Bishvilo, and then it would be allowed. But if he does know that I'm there, and he might heat up water for me, then it would be prohibited. What if it's for, that's if he did it for himself, and I want to benefit from it. What if he did it for a group of people? Again, so let's say he lights a candle, he does it for himself, I can benefit from it. If it's not a candle, because not neo ech and neo meh, it's water, so if he cooked the water for himself, and he doesn't know me, then I'm allowed to benefit from it. If he does know me, I'm not allowed. What if the Nachri does something for a whole group of people? So Shulchan Aruch says that we follow Roiv. If Roiv of them are Jews, we assume he did it for the Jews. If Roiv of them are Nachri, we assume he did it for the Nachri. If we know he did it for the minority, then it's prohibited, even if it's the minority is Jews, even if the Jews are the minority. But if we don't know, we assume he did it for the Roiv, and if the Roiv are Nachrim, we'll be allowed to benefit from it. The Mishnah Berurah of Sifkan Yud Zayin, though, discusses a very common scenario in the name of the Magen Avraham. What if he did it for both? You have a Nachri who's doing a malacha, a guy goes and he stays in a Homewood Suites, and there's a breakfast shop this morning with coffee. They know who's staying in the hotel. They know that there's Jews and non-Jews alike. Can I benefit from the coffee?
If Rov are non-Jews.
So you would say Rov are non-Jews. So he's probably doing it just for the non-Jews. Is he doing it just for the non-Jews? No, he's probably doing it for all the guests in the hotel. And they saw you when they walked in, and they know there's Jews staying in the hotel. And even if they don't, they're doing it for you.
I thought he's
No. So Magen Avraham discusses he's doing it for both. So the Magen Avraham says, we only follow Roy when there's a suffix. If there's no suffix, then it's considered on behalf of Jews and Jews would be prohibited. The Bir Halacha, over there, Shin Chav Hei Sif Av, quotes from the Chayei Adam, the Elia Rabba, who disagree. And they say, whenever you have a group of individuals, we always follow Rov. Even if there's no suffix about who he's doing it for, he's doing it for the entire group. We follow Rov. And if Rov of the people who are benefiting from the Halacha are non-Jews, then it would be permitted. And the Tiferes Yisrael is a commentary, as a Hakdama, the Masechet Shabbos called the Kilkelos HaShabbos, where he also subscribes to this position. Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe, that's why one is allowed. There's a whole discussion in Eretz Yisrael about using the electricity, because there are Jews doing malacha in electrical plants. How can I benefit from the malacha they're doing be'iser on Shabbos? There's no discussion in America about using electricity. Why not? The Nachrim are doing malacha in electrical plants, the power plants, on behalf of all the residents of the municipality, the Jews and non-Jews alike. So he's doing malacha on behalf of Jews. How can I benefit from it? So you have all the kulas of those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Well, the hospitals are on the grid, and you know, blah, 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 blah. But Lamaisa is doing it for the Jews. So why don't we find Machmirim in America to have their own private generators and, you know, the whole discussion. So Rav Moshe says, because he's doing it on behalf of Jews and non-Jews, and most are non-Jews, even in the most densely populated Jewish neighborhoods, most of the people on the power grid or, you know, benefiting from the power plant are non-Jews. Probably, I doubt they have their own power plant. Right. Maybe they do. I don't know. But still, most of them are non-Jews, and then, in which case it should be allowed. So for that reason, Rav Yaakov Breisch writes in the Chalkas Yaakov, with regards to taking a cruise on Shabbos, so most of the crew, these cruise ships are ginormous, so even when there is a Jewish cruise, they're a minority of the cruise ship. It's usually part of a bigger cruise. So even though there are people driving the boat on Shabbos and they're doing malach on Shabbos, and it's on behalf of all the passengers on the cruise ship, it'll be allowed because they're doing it on behalf of Rav of the passengers. Rav of the passengers are non-Jews.
So the halacha, we don't follow like that, right?
No. Nope. Yeah. The minig is to be mekel. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to be machmir electricity in chutz la'aretz. Same discussion. We're mekel. So to the crew, so to the coffee and the homewood sweets Shabbos morning. Because he's doing it on behalf of Jews and non-Jews. This is only, though, if they don't add anything for the Jews. See, they put out the same breakfast every morning, no matter who's there. But let's say, or the guy who's driving the boat does the same malacha no matter how many people are there. If he's adding for the Jews, then that's a whole different discussion. But if he's doing the same malacha either way, same malacha he's doing either way. But they could either do it on behalf of the, he's doing it on behalf of everybody. Some are Jews, some are non-Jews. We follow Rovim, they don't have non-Jews. If he's adding something for me, he sees, oh, another guest is here, I'm going to cook an omelet now for you. Oh, so that's a problem.
Let's say like you have like 100 Jewish guests show up for a Shabbos. So you've just like doubled the number of guests in a hotel. So now they're going to prepare double the amount.
That's a problem. But if you did that, you're probably not the minority, you're probably the Rov. Yeah, right. But yeah, that would be that would be a major issue. This though is the same issue, or with regards to sending packages on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Mem Zayin Sif Aleph that one is allowed to send a letter with an achri erev Shabbos, and you know, it should be delivered sometime in the following week. No different than even though he might travel on Shabbos, it's no different than the dry cleaning. I drop it off on Thursday. I didn't ask you to do it on Shabbos. He does it by himself. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch also writes, Reish Mem Zayin Sif Gimel, we're allowed to give an achri malacha during the week, even though he might do it on Shabbos. So too, we're allowed to send a letter with an achri during the week, even though he might travel on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shvus Yaakov that even if you drop a letter off on your way to shul in the mailbox, that's also allowed. You drop it on Friday on your way to Mincha, it's allowed, even though I know he's going to pick it up the following day, because I didn't ask the guy to pick it up on the following day. I could care less if the mailman comes Sunday. He doesn't work Sunday. That's up to him. I'd be very happy if it would come Sunday, or even Monday. Snail mail, very few people are very machbit about how fast it gets there. So I didn't ask him to come on Shabbos, so that's up to him. Or in those places where they take garbage on Shabbos. So people put out their garbage pails Friday. How am I allowed to do that? Aren't I asking the Nachri, let's say you live in a place where there's no Eruv, or I'm asking him to be Metalto Muksa, the Yetzirah. I didn't ask you to come on Shabbos. I would care less if you come Friday afternoon. You come Monday Shabbos. You decide to come on Shabbos. That's your schedule. That's up to you. I didn't ask you to come on Shabbos. What though if I send a package, I don't care when it arrives. not an issue. If it arrives on Shabbos, it arrives on Shabbos. I didn't ask enough for you to do. What about if I send an express package, though? And I ask him, I want the guy to travel on Shabbos or deliver it on Shabbos. Now I'm asking him to travel on Shabbos. So still, the Marsham, the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, are Mekel. Based on that, Shvus Yaakov, that the Mishnah Berurah quotes about mailing the letter Friday of Shabbos. Because the Shulchan Aruch writes, the Simin Reish Mem Zayin Sif Hey, I'm allowed to send a package with a Nachri. Add a package. I'm sorry, I'm allowed to add a package. Let's say Nachri is traveling somewhere anyway on Shabbos. I'm allowed to add a package to that which he's carrying already, even though he's doing the extra package on my behalf. I mean, let's say Nachri is traveling anyway somewhere. I asked the Nachri, can you take an extra package for me, but please deliver it on Shabbos. That's allowed. The Magen Avraham disagrees. He says, how is that allowed? He's adding for you, no different than the guy who's adding water to the urn. He's Ma'ar B'Shviloi. But the Shulchan Aruch holds that's allowed. So Sameach explains that it's because the Nachri is doing the exact same, see, by the water, he's adding water on my behalf. Here the Nachri is going in the same direction, you know, carrying. So yes, he's carrying an extra package for me, but Ribui B'Shiurim perhaps is allowed when it comes to Amir Ul-Nachri. Perhaps Ribui B'Shiurim is allowed when it comes to Amir Ul-Nachri. The only fear by the water is he might heat up an additional water for me. You know, he might heat up water for himself, and then heat up water for me too.
It's like one urn. He just fills it up the entire way.
Right.
Isn't that parallel to the run?
Similar.
It's like one tircha.
One tircha. That's different than one animal. Here, the malach of Bishul, Reba Bishul is a complicated issue. Some malachas are focused on the action, some are focused on what you're doing. Cooking is focused on the pot.
So if it's one urn,
Mahotzah might be focused not on every item. It's a larger discussion. Reba Bishul. Yeah, when you shecht an animal, it doesn't matter how big the animal is. When you're carrying, it might make a difference how big it is. So you have to say, Gzeres HaMiyarav B'Shvilo might mean he might add a second pot. But either way, according to Shulchan Aruch, if a guy carries an extra package for me, that's not a problem. So Aruch Sameach explains, according to Shulchan Aruch, Ribui B'Shiurim is allowed when it comes to Amir Ul-Nachri. But that's even more than what we said until now. We said until now, the Bir Halacha, quoted in the name of the Chai Adam, if the guy's doing it, he's driving a boat. So we follow Roiv, the people on the boat are non-Jews, that's allowed. Even though Amiyot might be Jews, fine. But he's not adding extra on behalf of the Jews. What if he's adding something extra on behalf of the Jews? So Shulchan Aruch says that's still allowed. Ribui b'shiurim, when it comes to Amir Ul-Nachri, is allowed. And there the Magen Avraham disagrees. Again, the Magen Avraham disagreed about the other one. He disagreed if it's, he's doing something on behalf of Jews and non-Jews, even if the non-Jews are the minority, it's Aser. And the Magen Avraham disagrees with this Sifan Shulchan Aruch. If the Nachri is adding something on your behalf, it's prohibited. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Minchas Yitzchak writes, we should accept the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it should be allowed to ask Nachri to carry a package, you know, to transport a package on your behalf, even though I'm asking to do it on Shabbos, because he's carrying other packages. He's not the only package in the FedEx truck, or in the FedEx plane, or in the UPS plane. There's a million packages there. So he's adding a package for me, but that's Ribui B'Shiurim when it comes to Amir Ul-Nachri. Perhaps we could be Meiko like the Shulchan Aruch, that should be allowed. The only bigger issue will happen if I ask the Nachri to deliver a package on my behalf on Shabbos. Because then there's no more Ribui B'Shiurim, he's only carrying my package. But as long as I ask him to come to an area or deliver to an area where there's an Eruv, I'm never really asking the Nachri to do anything on my behalf, Be'iser. Because the packages that he's transporting out from this, you know, the service station or the central location to the place where the Eruv is, let's say the Teaneck, that's Ribui B'Shiurim. He's transporting a whole truck. The one package that I ask him to get out and deliver to my friend where I'm asking it to go, there's an Eruv there. Or he's going to get it out of the package in a big warehouse. I have to return it to Amazon, right? I want it to be returned on Shabbos. It's going to get there on Shabbos in the middle of a big warehouse. So where there's an Erev already, there's no Iser of Hotzah. So maybe I'm not asking him to do anything on my behalf, but Iser, that's unique. You'll ask, well, he's stopping the truck in front of this guy's house. I ask him to deliver it to your house, and he's going to have to drive the truck just to your house. So I would argue there's probably not that big of a difference between distance between one delivery and the next delivery. The guy probably could have stopped a block away at the other delivery and walked to the package. to my house. He decides he doesn't want to do that. It's not becovedic for him to walk any packages anywhere. He's going to stop by every single house, even though they're two houses away. So maybe that's called a da'at de'nafsh avad. So I think most situations, you can probably eke out a heter for the delivery man on Shabbos as well, even though it's an express package, I'm asking him to travel on Shabbos, but the Magen Avraham would not allow it. The Magen Avraham holds Rebbe Bishurim when it comes to Miro Nachri, it's not allowed, and therefore the Magen Avraham would argue that one shouldn't ask the Nachri to travel on your behalf on Shabbos, even though he's going anyway. Yeah?
What's the gzera of Machir? Meaning, if the Goy is Machir, you Shema Yarba Bishilo. If Rebbe Bishurim is Mutzer,
then it would be he's going to add a second pot.
So meaning beyond what's mutar by.
Aside from the fact that we could distinguish that hotzah is not based on the items that he's carrying, you know, it doesn't matter how much he's carrying; it's the action of hotzah. You could argue that.
But Rebbe was saying that
I'm saying the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, holds Rebbe Bishurim, even if it would be focused on the item, meaning the more items you carry, the bigger Easter you have. We would have to argue that Gzeir Shem Yarav Bishvilo means to add a second pot, not that he's going to cook more in the original pot.
It applies across the board to a new oven.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Based on all of this, with all of these kulas, maybe we could eke out a heter for the newspaper on Shabbos. The Maram Shik has a tshuva that if you're not allowed to order a newspaper on Shabbos, it's going to be printed Friday night, because they're printing a newspaper for you. How can you do that? It's Yisrael Amiru and Achri. So let's say, the Deborah Tzina Rav discusses in the Tshuvas Be'er Moshe, let's say they're not printing a newspaper for me. They print 1,000 newspapers no matter what. The fact that I ordered one, they're not printing more for me. So then maybe I could order the newspaper. But if you know that they're printing, because even though he's ordering it, you know, even though they know that some Jews are there, maybe it's based on the Roiv Nachrim. So they're going to print, let's say they're going to print the same number of newspapers either way. Even if they know that some are Jews and some are Nachrim, they don't print more for the Jews than they do for the Nachrim. So it's no different than the guy who's driving the cruise ship. He's doing a malach on behalf, they know there are some Jews who live there, but he's doing it on behalf of Jews and non-Jews. But they don't print any more for the Jews. If all the Jews would cancel their subscription, they would still print the same number of newspapers. So then that's no different than using electricity in America. That they're doing it on behalf of non-Jews and Jews, but most of them are non-Jews, therefore it should be allowed. So he says maybe you could be makel with that. The truth of the matter is, though, that's not going to correspond to our reality. The reality is if all Jews would cancel their subscription to the New York Times, the New York Times would print less copies. There's no doubt about it.
So now
they're not just doing the same malacha on behalf of Jews and non-Jews, which is the Kula L'Chai Adam, they're adding for the Jews. They're
even
adding.
Though my individual subscription doesn't matter?
The Jews, they're printing for Jews. Okay. Yeah? So, if we'd all cancel our newspapers, it would be less newspapers. That's why somehow, really, you know, that's what the Maram Shik is discussing. That's a problem. So what you could do is, Sternbach writes the Jews on Huggins, tell them, I don't want the Saturday newspaper. If they delivered on their own, they did that on their own. That's a da'at de'nafshei avad. The truth of the matter is, though, if you really in America, or at least with regards to the papers that people are ordering, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, you ask them not, I'm not discussing how you can read these newspapers on Shabbos, this is of Kriya Shtari Adyaitis, but let's say, you know, you're going to read the mutter parts of it. So, but if I would call the New York Times and say, please don't, you know, cancel my Saturday subscription, they would cancel your Saturday subscription. There is such a plan like that. You can get it 6 days a week. So then, if you really want the Saturday paper and you think by telling them don't deliver it, that that's going to get you out of it, it's not. It's still a problem.
But why would it not? You mean you just sign up for that?
You can sign up for 6 days a week, yeah.
Right, I'm saying that would be...
You can't just yell out to the delivery man, don't deliver my Saturday paper. No, if you mean it, call up the New York Times and cancel your Saturday subscription and they'll charge you less. You can do that.
Right. So
all of these newspapers, you can do that. So that kula of saying to the guy, don't deliver my paper on Saturday, and the delivery man is going to forget about it or deliver it anyway because he's not paying attention to you, that doesn't work. Unless you really don't want the newspaper. But if you want the newspaper, it's not going to work. So, but one could perhaps argue, in the Shmir Shabbos, Kochas quotes like this from Shlomo Zalman, that it's all Rebbe Bishurim. They don't run a whole printing run of the newspaper for you. They probably press a button. I assume as things get more automated, things might change somewhat. But It's they press one button and then they print, you know, a number of papers. So that's called, they're printing more papers for you, no doubt, but they're probably not running a separate printing run just for the Jews. It's probably Reba B'Shiurim. So if it's just Reba B'Shiurim when it comes to Miro and Achri, so perhaps, according to the Shulchan Aruch, we could be a makel, no different than the express package, that the guy's carrying extra packages on behalf of you, or an extra package on your behalf, since he's carrying it anyway, it's Reba B'Shiurim, perhaps, with regards to the newspaper as well, we could argue that it's Reba B'Shiurim, and it can't be allowed. But, okay, many would disagree that you shouldn't do it. The Magen Avraham Hal disagreed with the whole Shulchan Aruch. You shouldn't send an express package where you know it's going to be delivered on Shabbos, or it's going to, you're asking the guy to travel on Shabbos. The truth of the matter is express packages are a little bit better, because even when, if you know, even when you order express or Amazon Prime and it says it's going to be delivered on such a day, oftentimes it's not, and you have no recourse. So you really, you know, if the guy would travel the next day, you really wouldn't have a taina. You know, I send something FedEx next day and arrives 3 days later, I paid this, you know, crazy amount of money, and still arrive 3 days later and say, sorry, weather problems, you know. So, you really don't have any recourse. So, it's really a da'at d'naf she'ova that the guy's ever going to deliver it on time. So, the packages are a little bit different than a newspaper. But one could perhaps eke out a heter for the newspaper. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Zayin Siv Hei, based on the Gemara Masechtas Erevin, about doing a bismillah on Shabbos with the water spilled before the bismillah. That they used to wash the baby, I think we discussed last time, they used to wash the baby in hot water before the bris as an antiseptic. Can you, and then the water spilled, can you heat up new water on Shabbos or bring hot water from a different location? So the Gemara says, well, just ask, you know, bring it from a different house. The Gemara says, well, we have no Erev here. So the Gemara says, well, ask an Achri to bring it. And the Gemara assumed that that was allowed. To ask an Achri to carry hot water through a Carmelis, it's not a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, because then there can never have been an Erev. So as we're talking about where it's a Carmelis, so they ask an Achri to carry through the Carmelis was mutter to perform a bris milah. So Shulchan Aruch says, that's the Gemara in Erevin. So Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. Is that only the makom bris milah, which is like a special kind of mitzvah? It's kares if you don't perform bris milah. Or perhaps that would apply to any mitzvah. And the Ramah is meiko, that the minhag is lekula, that shvus to shvus, the double the Rabbanan Amir or Anachri, together with carrying in a Carmelis, would be mutter for any mitzvah. The Prima Gadim argues that one of the Shvusim has to be Amiro and Achri. However, in order to apply Shvus to Shvus Mokka Mitzvah. However, Rabbi Avadia has a sefer on Hilchos Shabbos called Levi'as Chein, where he quotes the Matisis and Mesech of Shefta, quotes in the Big Be'atzon, where he quotes the Matisis and Mesech of Ksubis and Afhe, that argues, that it says, seems to imply, even if the one of the Shvusim would not be Amiro and Achri, one could still apply the principle of shvus to shvus makom mitzvah. The Bir Halacha implies in numerous places that that's the case. That even if one of the chazan issue also, that if one of the shvusim is not a miro nachri, we can still apply shvus to shvus makom mitzvah. So therefore, let's say common situation, alarm goes off in a house on Shabbos. So you can turn it off kalacher yad. Turning it off is a malach shein tzrich legufa, and handling electricity we normally treat as only a isam midrabanan. And if I turn it off kalacher yad, should be a shvus to shvus b'makayim oinik Shabbos. You can't think, you know, when these alarms are going off in Shabbos. Or let's say a light is on in a room where someone needs to go to sleep. There's no other bedroom. So Rav Shechter mentioned numerous times that you could turn off the light kalachiyad. If you have a nachri around, better to ask the nachri. But if you don't have a nachri around, you could turn off the light kalachiyad shvus to shvus b'makayim mitzvah. But let's say a person is in an area where there's no eruv, but it's assuming it's not Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, it's a Carmelis. So you could ask a Nachri to push the stroller. That would be also a Shvus to Shvus B'Makayim Einig Shabbos if you need to get to somewhere, you know, for a meal. Assuming socializing is part of Einig Shabbos, but, you know, okay. But if you need to get somewhere, or to Shul or something, one could call that a Shvus to Shvus B'Makayim Einig Shabbos, and that would be allowed. The Shara Tzion writes, Mereish Mehem Dalas of Kon Lamed Hei, diuk from the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Mila, that shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah is not a policy, it's a contingency. Meaning, you shouldn't plan an event based on shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. Oftentimes people plan weekends away in a hotel, and the only way to get into the rooms is with a key card. Well, how are people going to get into the rooms on Shabbos? No problem, we'll station a guy on every floor, and when a person wants to get into their room, they'll ask the guy to open the door. well, how are you allowed to do that? Shmus to shmus. The electric door is only did the Rabbanon, electricity. And the Nachri is in a second Rabbanon, shmus to shmus, makom enik Shabbos. People have to get to sleep. Yeah, but you plan the event knowing the only way to be able to do it is based on shmus to shmus. So some contemporary Paiskim seem to be of the opinion, just that's what I'm garnering, you know, just from my exposure to other Paiskim, that this is somehow a policy. Like, we can do that. However, if you look in the Shaar HaTzion, and that's not been my chinuch from Rav Shechter and Rabbi Willig, their opinion is shvus to shvus is not a policy, it's a contingency. And that's what the Shaar HaTzion seems to say. There's a tshuva ksav sefer like that too. That is if you get caught. Yeah, if I get land, you know, 2 seconds before Shabbos, I have to go stay in a hotel. The only way I could get in is if an usher is going to open the door for me. Then fine, shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. Or I get to a hotel and I thought there would be keys and there's no keys. So okay, you can ask the usher to open the door with a key card, but not to plan a Shabbaton in a hotel or a Pesach program in a hotel, knowing the only way to get in is shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. Rav Eliashiv, as quoted by the Rosh Hashabbos, discusses, well, what about? Oh no, it's not Orch, it's in a sefer called Melachim Amnayach, which is a whole sefer on Amil Nachri by Rabbi Zilberstein, Rabbi Yashar's son-in-law. So he discusses, what if I go to the Nachri 6 months before the Pesach program, I say, please install key locks. And he doesn't. He says, nope, you don't need key locks. I'll put a Nachri on every floor, you'll be fine. So then that's a diet to the Nafshay of it. He could have put in key locks. He decides to station a Nachri on the floor because it's easier for him than installing key locks.
Maybe.
Well, Yashar said that was okay, though.
Yeah, but you have to plan it far enough in advance that the guy could have legitimately had time to install key locks. Installing key locks in a hotel, I discussed it with the guy who owns hotels, is a major undertaking. It's expensive, and it takes forever. So, you know, to install it on every door. You have to get sometimes new doors, so or at least new door jams and things. So it's not push it. But if you want to do that, and the guy, you know, and the Rebbe Yashiv, maybe. But it's just, but in general, it's not only about the key cards. There are other examples of shvus to shvus. I know a shul where every time the rabbi speaks, if the air conditioning would be on, you couldn't hear the rabbi. Every time the rabbi speaks, the guy turns off the air conditioning. I guess it's also, you know, the rabbi's on the clock. How long can he really speak for if the air conditioning is off? But it's a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. Okay, but yeah, but that's the whole way your shul runs? Or your shul is on the 18th floor of a building. The only way to get there is because the nachri is going to push the button on the elevator for everybody. Okay, so yeah, it is shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, but the only way we can function is if shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, is that really, can we call that a contingency anymore? Maybe now it's become a policy. So many people say that. You usually look for an apartment on a lower floor. From living in Manhattan myself, at least part-time, I've come to realize, you often don't have a choice about which apartment you're going to take because there just aren't that many apartments that fit the bill. So sometimes you get stuck taking an apartment on a higher floor. But it's not ideal. Ideal would be to either install a Shabbos elevator or be in a building on a lower floor. Yeah, if you have the option, it's really not ideal. Yeah.
You're at a yeshiva high school planning a Shabbaton. The most affordable hotel happens to be one which does not have mechanical keys. Isn't that been bidied already?
No, it's terrible chinuch. Whatever you're accomplishing on your Shabbos, you're undermining by having shvus to shvus.
Isn't it parallel to the case, you know,
in my opinion?
If you have bread, right? You have bread that the non-Jew makes and the Jew makes.
I'm telling you my opinion. I've discussed with other poskim from different orientations, without naming names, they clearly feel there are many major conferences of Jewish organizations from that take place in hotels where they station goyim on every floor with key card. And major Paiskim were consulted, and clearly they feel that it's a policy, not a contingency. I'm just telling you from what our chinuch, our bam, and from just looking around in the svarim for many years already, I don't get the impression that it's a policy. It seems to be a contingency. Yeah.
So, like, let's say you have a shul, and you have kids services in, like, kids groups, whatever, in certain, like, you can't have the keeper come along and every Shabbos turn on the lights.
No. We're going to get to that in a second. That might be mitzvah derabim. Mitzvah derabim is different.
Right,
we'll get to that.
So,
what
about the case of the rabbi in Midrash? That's not mitzvah derabim.
That is mitzvah derabim. But that's if it comes up, not that we have
every single Shabbos.
You can, to have it every single Shabbos, yeah, exactly, yeah. No,
okay.
That's the same thing, yeah.
Right, you can do that.
To have him perform a malacha, Every Shabbos?
I come along and turn the lights for...
If
there's no other way of doing it, I don't think the Nachman should vacuum the floor every Shabbos. If there's a terrible, there's a crazy simcha and they didn't realize the whole floor got disgusting and we can't daven in the room anymore, okay, it's the rabbi, I ask him to vacuum the floor. But every Shabbos after Shachris, the Nachman's going to vacuum the floor? Ridiculous.
Rabbi Neuberger made a similar distinction, but he said it should be a routine.
Yeah, but that's a policy.
No, but he said, I asked, but it could be planned, but just like one time.
Yeah, that's a contingency.
But
because there's no other way. That's because there's no other way. You're going to make a simcha.
Right.
There's no other way to use the hall then for shalosh shudas. We're not going to go stay in a different shul. This is our shul.
Right.
Yeah, that's very different. The shul scenario is very different. If I have a choice of picking hotels, and
right.
you could spend $50 more and stay in a different hotel, but I want to have pizza lunches also, so then no. That's ridiculous.
It's a one-time...
If this is our shul, and there is absolutely no other way to have a bar mitzvah kiddush and then shalosh shudas without the guy mopping the floor, okay. That's mitzvah derabin. That's allowed. Yeah. That brings us to the next thing. The Ramah writes, in Reisha Vav Sif Beis, based on a Bala Ito, the Gemara says, Mesechta's Gittin Adav Ches, Kais Venov of Oinu B'Shabbos, Afil B'Shabbos. You're allowed to ask an Achri to write a Shtar Mechira to buy Kark in Eretz Israel, even on Shabbos. Because buying, so Tosfos writes Masechtas Gittin, that's because buying Kark in Eretz Yisrael is a tremendous mitzvah, even allowed to violate Amir or Nachri. The Bala Iter says, no, this is by all mitzvahs, not just by Kaisman of Aina, not just by buying Kark in Eretz Yisrael. All mitzvahs Amir or Nachri is allowed. That's the opinion of the Bala Iter. The Ramah quotes in the Reisha and Vav Sif Beis, we don't pass it like that. However, the Mishnah Brura and the Bir Halacha quote from the Chai Adam that perhaps Makom Mitzvah Derabim, which is a communal mitzvah, not that I have a lot of guests over on Shabbos, a communal need, then I can violate Amir Olenachri. Because we can rely on the Bala Iter, that b'makom any mitzvah, it's allowed. So let's say the Eruv falls down on Shabbos. I can ask Olenachri to put it back up explicitly, even though he's violating Anisim Midoraisa, since it's Amir Olenachri, it's one Amir Olenachri, we can rely on the Bala Iter, b'makom mitzvah derabim. The people shouldn't violate Hotzah, you can ask them to put back up the Erev on Shabbos. Or the light turns off in the shul by accident, someone bumps into it, we can't daven anymore, the whole Ezra Slashim has no light. You can ask the Nachri to turn on the light, or, the floor gets dirty, and you can't daven in here, you can ask them to wash the floor vacuum. If it's a contingency, not a policy, but Mako Mitzvah Derabim. All these things can be allowed. Yeah.
I think shuls do this to ask the non-Jew to turn up the air conditioning. Is that...
So again,
we could daven in the warm room, but it's comfortable. It's more comfortable.
No, that's what Malcolm is around. Some people will leave.
Okay.
If you don't, that's, I know from running a shul, if everything's not perfect, people will leave. That's no good. So that's what Malcolm is the Robin. That's okay. But not that we left it off. Let's say it's freezing at night, and we know it's going to be hot tomorrow, but we don't want to waste electricity of leaving on the air conditioning, so we're going to ask an operator to turn it on in the morning. No, that's no good. Or I have the janitor every Friday night turn off the air conditioning Friday night, turn it back on Shabbos morning. That's unacceptable. That's really improper. Unless I have a timer. Put it in a timer.
Like Hefzik Gadol, like for a big shul.
Amir or Nachri? Yeah, Hefzik Gadol, Amir or Nachri? No, I don't think so. And it's not Hefzik. Yeah.
No, I was just going
to
ask you. Right.
Same thing. Okay, let's get to the last thing, and that is running a business on Shabbos. Of course, that's a problem when it's not allowed to work on Shabbos. Let's say a person has a nursing home, though, or a hotel, or some other business, which has to run on Shabbos. By definition, they run 24/7. So, can I hire an Achri to do it? No, you can't. That's Amir Onachri. Amir Onachri is prohibited. So, is there any way to go, manage the situation? So, Mishnah Berurah discusses some arrangement of Vavsevkan Lamed Aleph, selling the business to an Achri for Shabbos. No different than the way we sell Chametz for Pesach. However, here, it's frowned upon. Even though we all sell chametz for Pesach, some more than others, but when it comes to Shabbos, the Bir Halacha discourages it. Why? Why is it any different than selling chametz? A question I've been asked many, many times. The answer is, because selling chametz, you're avoiding an Iser, as opposed to Shabbos, you're avoiding a mitzvah of Shabboson, of enjoying Shabbos. And resting on Shabbos. So you're not supposed to do it. It's different. That's why the Heter Mechira selling land in Eretz Yisrael for the Shnas HaShmita is different, because the Pasuk says Shnas HaBason, Yelo Aretz. You're avoiding a Asay as opposed to avoiding a Los Asay. Aside from the fact that all Mechira's Chametz is suspect. You know, how much do people really mean it? So all those problems now, you're transferring not only to Pesach, 8 days a year, out of the year, you're transferring to every Shabbos. So the Bir Halacha is not happy about it. The Bir Halacha and Reish Mem Vav Sif Hey. But the Poskim discussed the issue. Most of the contemporary Poskim in our sphere of influence are not happy about this. Rav Moshe, Menachas Yitzchak, certainly our Rebbeim here in Yeshiva are not happy about it. The RCA has a document which is horrible and it's worthless. Has a document to use for selling a business for Shabbos, and they have a major cover letter that, you know, the Rav Salvechik severely discouraged people from doing this. Like a disclaimer before, but the boilerplate text is totally useless. If you're interested in such a star, I have a star. It's much more useful.
Is this any different than the Keish Alarm says of like being masker?
Same as the animal. They're talking about selling animals for Shabbos. We're talking about selling business. That's exactly what they're talking about. Yeah.
It's only Marasai issue.
No, we're going to get to what about selling an animal for Shabbos? Or selling a business. That you're taking a partner or giving it, making an arisus, I'm giving him a part of the business. That's a whole separate story.
Right. If you're a shutaf.
Shutaf, we'll get to in a second. Partnerships and all those kinds
right.
of things
and
are different.
So what's the halakha? What do we call the halakha range for selling you the business?
I have a clothing business. I'll give you a mushroom. I had this case 6 months ago. Guy runs a suit store. Most of his business is on Shabbos. What are you going to do?
So he could sell it to non-Jew, and the non-Jew keeps the profit for Shabbos.
Oh, yeah, but he doesn't want that. He wants the profit.
Okay.
So you run it like a Mechiras Chametz. What you do is... It's not a fake sale. It's a real sale. I sell the business to the Nachri for $1 million. The Nachri, and he keeps all the profits from Shabbos. So, and he gives them to me as a down payment for the sale. He bought the business for $1 million. Every Shabbos he makes $15,000, yeah? He gives me the $15,000 as a payment for the business. He's never ever going to get to $1 million, and I never choose to collect the sum, and he never ends up paying me the value of the business. So all's well.
I thought he actually sells the business for sure.
And that's considered to be partial payment for the business. That's how every Mechiras Chametz works. If you ever read the Shtar, you should familiarize how you sell how Mechiras Chametz works. Same mechanism as Mechiras Chametz. So. However, though, I'll tell you, Chassidus circles, this was very makubal. The Divrei Chaim is famous that he wouldn't allow his son, who is the Shinever, wouldn't allow him into the house because the Shinever said, you can't do this selling a business for Shabbos. The Divrei Chaim was the son Zerov, a very respected, one of the most respected Chassidus Sherebis, said that this was allowed. Klal Yisrael needs this heter. The Shinever, who was his son, the Divrei Yechezkel, would not allow people to do this, and therefore the Divrei Chaim prohibited him from coming into his house. He said, you can't come in the front door, only climbing through the window. He allowed him to climb in through the window, not through the front door, because he wouldn't do this. And I'll tell you, in yeshivas of circles, it's done. In the modern Orthodox circles, no. In our circles, not.
But
in yeshivas of circles, it is done. It is.
This is like a first.
Rabbi Neuberger discussed it. He discussed it during the financial downturn. People were doing this. Yeah. Another, though, more popular solution is to take a legitimate non-Jewish partner. Many people don't want to do that because they own their business outright. Why would I take a non-Jewish partner? But if you took a non-Jewish partner, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shimon Reish Mem Hei Sefav, or if you have a non-Jewish partner, so you can make up an arrangement that Tuesdays are mine and Shabbos is yours. But you have to kind of make that arrangement when the business first gets started. It can't be that we start the business and wake up 6 years later, how are we going to do this and now make arrangements for the partnership? And the Shulchan Aruch says, when you first form the partnership, if you make this kind of arrangement, then it's valid. What is a more popular solution to all of these situations is to hire a management company. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simeration Beisif Beis is that if I have a kabbalonos, I give a non-Jew a malacha to perform, like dropping off the dry cleaning. And he decides to do it on Shabbos. We mentioned numerous times, that's a diet to the nafshei oven. If I ask him to do it on Shabbos, that's a problem. The Mishnah Berurah writes, if contest, if I ask the guy to do it on Shabbos, that's a problem. If I don't ask him to do it on Shabbos, though, then it's allowed. So if I would ask an Nachri to build a house, in theory, so I'm paying him to build a house, not telling him when to work, he decides to build it on Shabbos, it should have been allowed. If I pay him by the hour, by the day, that's prohibited. But if it's a kablonos, a contractor, paying him for the job, the contractors know that they can do it whenever they want. It takes them forever. So, right. So then that should have been allowed. The Shulchan Aruch says it's not allowed if for him to engage in Malach on Shabbos if it's Bebeis or Shal Yisrael, if it's obvious that he's doing it on my behalf, like everyone knows this is my house, then it's a Marasayan that people will think that I asked him to work on, that he's a Poel, that I'm paying him by the hour. People won't know that he's a contractor. People won't know that he's a contractor. What if you'll say, no one contracts work on their own, meaning no one, everyone hires a contractor. There's a sign outside with the name of the contractor. Everybody knows when you build a house, you hire a contractor. So the truth of the matter is, there are some people who are now not hiring contractors. People contract out if you're handy and you have a lot of time in your hands. You can build a house on your own with day workers. You can do it. My next door neighbor built it all on his own without a contractor. You can do it. But in our times, I would say the overwhelming majority of people use contractors. The Bureau of Halacha discusses, what's the Maris Ayin anymore? Even if everyone knows it's my house, everyone uses a Kavlon. Everyone uses contractors. So Bir Halacha goes back and forth about this, but he quotes a Noda from Noda Yehuda, says maybe this is Tzad LaHakel, but then he quotes from the Chayadam that were Machmer. Why were Machmer? You can look at the Bir Halacha, it's a very lengthy Bir Halacha. But Ramayisha writes, at least with regards to Malach and Chalamoid, we can allow it. So Ramayisha allows a contractor to work on Chalamoid, but not on Shabbos Yontif. Even though Malach is also on Chalamoid, but the contractors we can allow because everyone knows you use contractors anyway, even though it's obvious it's based on Shul Yisrael and there's a Marasayan, maybe I'm a contractor, I'm doing the work on my own. Day workers, everyone knows you use contractors and therefore it can be allowed, but not on Shabbos. Okay. Mikra Adin, perhaps one could have made an argument that it's allowed, but we don't do it.
For what?
Based on Shul Yisrael. A contractor for build a house.
Even though the Shulchan Aruch himself recognizes that Tana Rechaim, all these things are dependent on what people would, the arrangement that people usually use.
Like, correct. So here, you usually use a contractor, so it could have been allowed. There's a good argument to say it's allowed.
The Bureau of still says
yes, you can look it up. The Neid Behuda, huh?
Rabbi Neuberger formulated it as, since historically people would build houses using Sphirion, it wasn't assumed. Therefore, that's still carried out.
However, whatever. However, if that's the way you want to phrase it, it's fine too.
I don't know, but
the Bi'al Lacha discusses Maker, then probably one could make a good argument that it's allowed. But there's limitations. Again, Kablanis never works if you're going to ask him to work on Shabbos. If I tell the guy to work on Shabbos, no. And if it's Bebeis Shul Yisrael, there's a Mara sign that he's a Skirion. However, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Mem Dalet Siv Vav, in the name of the Marami Rutenberg, that a Jew who bought tax liens and then hired a non-Jew to collect those tax liens. So that's a kablonis. I'm asking the non-Jew to collect the tax liens. He's also probably getting a portion of it. That's why he's doing it. He's an aris. Yeah. So Shulchan Aruch says, then I could ask him to collect it on Shabbos. Because b'makom pseida, I could ask, you could let the guy work on Shabbos. Because he's really working for himself. So to a kablon as well. If the guy's really working for himself, meaning either he's getting a portion of the business, or I hire him to do a job, in which case, not I pay him per hour, I hire him to do a job, he's really working for himself, as a da'at d'naf she'avad, even though I ask him to do it on Shabbos, even though maybe it's b'beis shel Yisrael, it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, but makom pseida, if there's going to be a loss, it can be allowed.
In that case,
Kablanis is always a doctor than Afshiyavit. The fear is that if I ask him to work on Shabbos, then it's similar to a Skir Yoyim, or the Mara sign of a Beis Shul Yisrael that it's like a Skir Yoyim.
I thought it was a heter of Hefstein, also because we were concerned
that
people would come to rights because of
a... Yeah. But the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's a Arisus, in which case he's working for himself, so then, by the same token, Kablanos, if it's B'makom Seida, then perhaps one can allow it. So that's why there's an important article that Reb Chaim Cohn is a dayan, I think was the Breuer's dayan for a while. So he has an important article about running a nursing home on Shabbos, which is printed in the journal Yeshurun, I think, where he argues that, or recommends that not to sell the nursing home for Shabbos, which is suspicious, or, you know, difficult head there, but perhaps to hire a management firm, or to hire a manager who have a stake in the business, even if he's not a partner, but he gets a portion of the profits, even if it's a minimal portion, or to hire a management firm, even though I'm going to ask him to work on Shabbos, and even though it's Bebeis Shul Yisrael, people know that it belongs to a Jew, but B'makom Seida, perhaps there's room to be lenient, and that's better than selling the business for Shabbos. Okay. Shkoyach Rav. Thursday, 1 o'clock.
Okay, I still, how is that the
Atze
to Nafshe?
Because he's working for himself. The job is for him.
Even though you're telling him, please work on Shabbos?
I'm paying him.
Since you're paying.
But I'm paying him for a job, even though the job entails being there on Shabbos.
Were you right about where we already did? We were off of him in like June. Yeah. Okay, thank God. Otherwise, it'd be totally like I've been totally lost. Like,
yeah.
It's like the Shulchan Aruch Mishabura stuff. Like, I've seen most of it. Like, not Mishabura, but like,
right.
I'm familiar with the concept. So,
right.
I signed a resource for someone and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I only because I was doing it now. Like, I've been doing it.
Yeah.